Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Matt Peck is out today. Follow us on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369, the place to do that. Drop your texts, your voicemails, anything you got for us. Doing mailbag today. I know this is coming out on Friday morning for you guys. Usually we do this on Wednesdays. But going to get to all of your text messages and your voicemails. But if you want to hit us up over the weekend, be early to next week's episode. Hit us up at 331-979-1369. Back here on a Bulls mailbag Friday, I guess. Usually, like I said, we do this on Wednesdays, but wanted to clear up the text and voicemail line just because a lot of things going on this week with Bulls Media Day in the first couple of days with training camp getting underway. So, yeah, we had a lot of voicemails and a lot of text messages, too, so appreciate everybody chiming in. I'm going to try to get to as many as I can today, but you guys are getting this early Friday morning. After this, you guys will see an episode later today. Matt and I are going to hop back on the mics. I haven't decided what we're going to do. We will clean up some of the recent news, including Daniel Gafford and Wendell Carter Jr. both fully practicing yesterday, although Wendell Carter Jr. again suffered another minor injury, so we'll talk a little bit about that. We may even hop into our player previews, too, and might do that on rookies. So if you didn't catch our player preview from last week, we started at the end of the week. We started with the end of the bench, so check that out. We talked about Shaq Harrison, Ryan Arcidiacono, Cristiano Felicio and Alex Makoka, the two-way player. But most of the conversation surrounded around Ryan Arcidiacono and Shaq Harrison. So check that out if you haven't listened to that. Let's just jump right into it. We'll get to the text messages right now, and then I will do the voicemails at the back end of the episode. First one here from the 707 says, did you guys listen to the Wendell Carter Jr. interview on Jalen and Jacoby? First time I heard him in an extended interview. I came away very impressed, especially loved what he said about his thoughts on players who are too friendly with each other these days. Really came away thinking Wendell Carter Jr. is the guy that needs to be the leader on this team. Do you guys think he will become the leader of this team, or do you think the Bulls will end up trading him for other pieces down the line? So let me let you guys listen to this clip really quick because it is good, and it's about 7 minutes long on YouTube if you want to watch the full interview, but it is really good, and you get a different side of Wendell Carter Jr. than we normally hear in the kind of robot version every player is like when they talk to the media. So let's take a listen to this.
Jalen grew up in an era in Detroit where the Pistons wouldn't even shake hands with the Bulls. Like, they wouldn't even shake hands with the Bulls. You know, you play for the Bulls now. It seems like it's a different era now. Like, do you feel like players are kind of a little too friendly with opponents and with each other?
Yeah. That's something I really don't like. I don't like it when, you know, my teammates is, you know, dapping up other teammates when they make a good move. I mean, opponents when they make a good, when they make a good move. Like, I really hate it. And I've checked a couple of my teammates whenever they've done it. Like, like, y'all can do that after the game. Like, right now we're trying to win, especially with us not having that winning record that we were shooting for last season. Whenever, you know, someone was out there smiling, having fun, like, especially when we was losing, it really, like, got underneath my skin.
I'm glad you went there because the best players usually define how an era behaves. So yep, when I was exactly in the league, the best players were Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal. And then it became the LeBron era. And he has figured out how to be great. And to my, in my opinion, he's found a way to disarm the opponents. And so this attitude, Jacoby, this young man got a chance to be MVP one day. Mark my word.
I'm excited
about
this.
You just heard it. With that attitude.
I'm excited about this. He's like, look, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to get buckets. No one gives me buckets. Yeah, I'm going to talk trash, and I'm not going to be friendly with the opponents.
Some pretty solid and strong words, and I can't say I don't disagree with him. Like, for those of you who were old enough to watch the 90s era of the Bulls, like, Michael Jordan wasn't going out there dapping up with people and, you know, giving guys good ups just because they made a layup or made a nice move against him. He wanted to go out there and kick their ass every single night. And I think that Wendell Carter Jr. has that kind of mentality in him. I mean, it's good to hear him too, even check his teammates, like rookie dude on a team with dudes with a lot of experience, a lot of playing time in the NBA. Wendell Carter Jr. checking those guys last year, like, you know what? Do that after the game. And I'm with him. I'm 100% with him. And I want a team that's built like that, that will dap each other up, root on each other's teammates, but you want to go out there and for 48 minutes a night kick the other team's ass. So I'm cool with it. I like hearing that from Wendell Carter Jr. And I think definitely, if not now, in a few years, because still think he's only, what, 20 years old, going to be 21 at the middle of the season. So we're still talking about a really, really young player here. And I don't know if the Bulls leadership committee is still a thing or if that's just kind of disappeared. But I would assume Carter wasn't on it last year, so I would assume that with two spots being open, with Lopez leaving, Holiday leaving, Carter would be next up in line to be a part of that leadership committee. But who knows if Jim Boylan even still has that, or if that isn't even a thing. But I can see Carter picking up a lot of the intangible leadership skills from Thaddeus Young this year, or for, you know, the next couple of years while Thaddeus Young is still here. I think he can pick up a lot from Otto Porter Jr. as well. He's going to be underrated as one of those guys that we're going to hear from time to time in the media, but I think he's going to do a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. And Thaddeus Young, I think, is going to be the more on court, on the bench type of leader. So I think we've got a bunch of different guys that can jump into this spot and become a leader, but definitely see it in Wendell Carter Jr.'s future. And he's determined, man. If there's anything about Carter's game that I really love that's an intangible, it's the fact that he wants to win, and you can genuinely tell that. Very, very smart as well on and off the court. So crossing my fingers, he can stay fully healthy this season. We get to see a fully developed year from Wendell Carter. I was going to say this, too. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for Carter to think this way. Kind of reminds me, and we just heard this recently on the Woj Pod. If you listen to the Woj Pod the last couple of days, you did hear from one of the former trainers that Derrick Rose didn't want to go the extra mile to recruit LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. It kind of reminds me of that mentality from Derrick Rose, and I don't know if it's gone to this extent with Carter, but it's not that he doesn't want to play with LeBron or Wade, and in this case, it's not like he doesn't like the other guys he's playing against, some of them being his former teammates, and same thing with his teammates, you know, high-fiving, dapping up guys after good plays. I mean, those guys are friends off the court, but they're not teammates here, so it reminds me of this Rose situation because it's like it's not that he didn't want LeBron or Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh to come here in 2010, but he said it. He's like, I'm not going to fly out and I'm not going to do a whole recruiting trip just to basically beg him to come here and play here in Chicago. If he wants to come play here, he's going to come play here. And if he wants to play with me, he's going to come play with me. So it was kind of Bulls team versus the world with Rose. And I feel like in the same scenario, it's like Carter feels the same way. He wants his team to be like a family, and it's for 48 minutes a night. Is let's go out there and let's go ram it down their throats, and it's full throttle, foot on the gas, foot on their throats, and let's not be nice about it. So I think it's a good thing, and I think it's going to bring a little bit of fire, a little bit of edge, and I'm sure Jim Boylan absolutely loves it. This text from the 607, Dan from New York. Hey guys, Dan from New York. Talk about shitty giveaways. Here you go. I'm not going to lie. I almost picked this up a couple years ago, but they were asking much more, so I dodged a bullet. Take care, guys. This is something that I did tweet out from our Locked On Bulls Twitter, if you guys want to go over there and see that picture from Dan, but it's one of the Joakim Noah bobbleheads that was given away at one of the games. And this has to go back to either his rookie year or one of the first few years he was in the league, because the bobblehead has him in cornrows. The only distinguishing quality on this bobblehead is the fact that Joakim Noah is wearing his number, and also the gap in his teeth, which is oddly weird that they couldn't get the hair right or his facial features right, but they decided to add the tooth gap in there. So, yeah, it's an all-time bad bobblehead. Is there even a good Joakim Noah good bobblehead out there that actually looks like him? I've only seen like three or four bad ones, but that is an all-time bad giveaway. I want to hear, though, the rest of them. I mean, I've gotten certainly more giveaways at Sox games than I have at Bulls games or Blackhawks games. But there has been some bad ones. I know the Sox have made an effort to make their giveaways a lot better. So hopefully that's a Reinsdorf thing and they make the Bulls giveaways halfway decent and make it worth your time if you're going to go out to one of those games. But thanks for sharing that. Go to our Twitter at Locked On Bulls if you want to see that picture. This question from the 708, Jose from Homewood. Love the show. I love listening to you guys every day as I'm working. Appreciate you listening. You both do a great job, so please keep it up. Thanks. So I didn't get a chance to watch Bulls Media Day live because I was working, but once I got home, I got on YouTube and went on the Bulls YouTube page and found videos of their Media Day. I'm watching the one with Zach and Lowry on the podium together, and it all seems normal. However, around the 8:46 mark, I'm not too sure who was talking, but they were starting to ask something about Zach LaVine and ask Zach LaVine about Chris Dunn. It went something like, Zach, you've always been one of Chris's biggest defenders and Chris tends to be a forgotten member. And then the video cuts off, goes straight to another question being asked to Zach and Lowry. The first time I was watching the video, I thought my internet had just lagged. So I rewound it a couple of seconds back and it did it again. I'm thinking to myself, did the Bulls really cut out the part of the video about Chris Dunn? And it popped in my head, only the Bulls. I read some of the comments on the video and others did notice it too. My question was, do you guys remember what was being asked to Zach and Lowry about Chris Dunn? Yeah, let me play that clip for you really quick. So this was weird too, and this is what I had mentioned, I believe, on Wednesday's episode. Right at the end of our episode, I said, hey, you know, like, if you go back and try to watch the Bulls press conferences, in every single one of them, it seems like they cut out questions or something was going on with their video feed going to YouTube where questions for like 30 to 45 seconds were just completely cut and they were going to different answers. But I did notice it, and this is a kind of unfortunate timing, but with this Chris Dunn question, and it is kind of bizarre. But I did go to Twitter and went to their Periscope, and that was completely uninterrupted. So we were able to hear exactly what was asked to Zach LaVine about Chris Dunn. And so here's that question. If you want to watch any of their full uninterrupted press conferences, go to the Bulls Twitter page and rewatch it through those Periscope videos. But here's that question being asked in full and Zach LaVine's response.
Zach, you've always been one of Chris's biggest defenders. Mm-hmm. You go back way back with him. He seems like he's somewhat the forgotten guy here, but John and Jim just talked about how great of September he's had. Where do you think the status of his game is at, and where do you think his mindset is at as he enters camp?
He's looked great. You know, we were in here doing a little mini camp, and, you know, it was surprising. We had 17 guys in here. We had pretty much everybody on the team except for the guys in the FIBA Cup. Yeah. You know, you don't really get to see that, but Chris looked as good as anybody out here. You know, he's in great shape, you know, and – whatever role he has, he's okay with it and he's accepted. But he looks really good in his mind and his heart's in the right place. So, you know, I think, you know, he's poised to have a really big season.
So there it is, Zach LaVine's response to the question, which sounded like it was Casey Johnson who asked that question, which is a good one. I was very surprised at everything that I was hearing from training camp on Chris Dunn. I was basically figuring they weren't going to say a whole lot, so... yeah, I think at the end of the day, it was more of a technical issue with whatever they were doing with recording on YouTube. And if they just didn't notice it, that the feed was cutting in and out. And I'm not sure if people were watching that live, if those videos were all uploaded to YouTube live, if that was cutting in and out, if that was an issue as well. So yeah, I asked the same question, but then went back and found the actual video on their Periscope page on Twitter. So if you want to watch the full thing, watch the full interviews with nothing cut out, go to the Bulls official Twitter page and watch the Periscope videos. This one from the 570, David from Virginia. Which would you guys rather have? Bulls have a representative in the All-Star game or the Bulls make the playoffs? Choose one of them. So I was thinking about this question a lot because this is a good one and you could go a million different directions with it. And I came to the conclusion that I think for this season and this season alone, I think I'd rather take the All-Star nod, but it has to come from an actual All-Star caliber season. I don't want Zach LaVine or Lauri Markkanen or Otto Porter to end up in the All-Star game just because it was a basic thank you for hosting this year in Chicago. Like, I don't want that to happen. I want Zach LaVine to have a legit 23-25-5 type of season and be part of the impact and why this team is being is having success. Same thing with Lauri Markkanen. If he's voted to the All-Star game, I want that to be a legit vote in, not just one of these, oh, he's going to replace X, Y, and Z player because they've got a sore hammy or, you know, they rolled their ankle in practice, quote unquote, rolled their ankle. So I want it to be a legit nod. I choose this over playoffs because it means the team's ceiling is actually potentially higher. Stick with me for a second. If the Bulls make the playoffs without a single All-Star, what does that say to you about this team? And what does it say to you about this team going forward? I mean, it could say in the short term two things, like while Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, Otto Porter Jr., none of the starters ended up making the All-Star game, they could be on their path to doing that, right? With that playoff appearance. There's got to be reason enough that the Bulls are making the playoffs. Either it's the 6th, 7th, or 8th seed this year. So that could be an argument. I get that. Short term, no All-Stars, but you get a first round playoff entrance. I chose this because the Bulls could miss the playoffs for a handful of reasons. There's teams in the East that are far better. The Eastern Conference as a whole could be a whole hell of a lot better than we are thinking of right now. I mean, we were really talking about maybe two or three teams having to battle it out for that final spot in the East where we weren't completely 100% sure. Like, I still think it's going to be Bucks, Sixers, Raptors, Pacers, Celtics, Nets. I think the Heat can sneak in as well with Jimmy Butler. So really, you're battling for one spot with three teams, Orlando, the Bulls, and Detroit. So if that's the way things go this season, teams could just be better. And so the Bulls could miss the playoffs there. Just because the East is better, not saying that the Bulls aren't very good. Like, the Bulls in this scenario could win 41 games and still miss the playoffs because the East could be better than we think. I also thought of it in terms of the Bulls missing a chunk of the season because of health. The Bulls aren't fully healthy through the entire season, so we get a stretch maybe this season where a Bobby Portis or a Chris Dunn injury happens like it did last year where they're out 3, 4, 5 weeks. Like, that stretch, if we lose Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, Otto, Thaddeus Young, Thomas Satoransky, any of these key major players, Wendell Carter Jr. as well, any of these key players for a stretch of time, that could definitely affect the Bulls' record. They can go on a losing streak, end up worse than they actually were when they were on a roll. So that's another part, but maybe the Bulls only missed the playoffs by one game. Like, in this scenario, yes, the Bulls don't make the playoffs, but maybe they are 42, they have 42 or 43 wins, and that still isn't good enough to get them in the East. Obviously, that's not as realistic because I don't think the East is going to be 43, 44, 45 wins good enough to get you an 8th seed. I think it's going to be lower than that, probably around 500. But it can happen. I mean, a lot of teams have shaken up now, and we have a lot of teams in the East that are trying to turn that corner, just like the Bulls. Detroit's still trying to do that. They made the playoffs last year. The Bulls are trying to do that right now. The Nets are still trying to hang on and be an even better contender this year. Like, even though the Raptors lost Kawhi Leonard, they're still, I think, going to be in the playoff hunt. Still talking about a potential 5, 6, 7, 8 seed. Don't really know what the Celtics are. So there's a lot of room for things to happen in this Eastern Conference. The other silver lining to this, too, on top of just having an All-Star caliber player and having that vote this year, the Bulls will get another lottery pick next summer. Like, we could talk about a Bulls team that wins 37, 38, 39, 40 games this year and misses the playoffs, has an All-Star. And then the cherry on top of that, too, is, you know, next year, not this season, 1920, but you know, 2021, where a lot of these guys are still under contract, you have some tweaking to do, but you still end up with a lottery pick. So the Bulls could, even who cares, even if it's the 13th or the 14th pick, you can still find value there. The Bulls could turn around and trade that pick too and add to the depth on this team because they are looking to win right now. So I think there's a lot more positives of the Bulls having an all-star and yes, missing the playoffs this season than making the playoffs and having no all-stars. To me, making the playoffs and having no all-stars, what I thought immediately is putting a ceiling on this team. Think straight up, it's putting a ceiling on this team. Because if the Bulls are making the playoffs and they're going to get their ass handed to them and end up losing 4-1 in a series or end up getting swept in the first round in a series, I mean, that I don't want to go back to that. That's what we were with Jimmy Butler, and that's what we were with at the end of Derrick Rose's stint here with Butler and Noah and Pau Gasol. It's like all of that. And in one of those years, we didn't even make the playoffs. So I just don't want to go back to that. And I think that screams more. And while it still could be, like, Lowry still has time to be an all-star after just this season. Same thing with Zach LaVine. He can still be named to an all-star team maybe 2-3 years down the road. But still, I think for me, immediately when I read this question, I thought that's going to put a ceiling on this team if they have a playoff. They have the playoffs, but they don't have a clear-cut all-star. And I think it gets back to that problem, right? You only win games and you only win championships with all-star caliber players. Simple as that. So I think I'm going to take the all-star nod over the playoffs. 870 wouldn't be Bulls training camp without an injury. Yeah, that's for sure. A lot of you guys texting in with similar thoughts as soon as the injury bug hit the Bulls training camp, and it was let us known that we've got three guys that are hurt now, so or at least have had minor injuries. It is good to hear that Daniel Gafford practiced in full, so I don't know if that was just being really, really cautious and really upfront and saying, hey, man, this is what happened in practice. It could be bad. It could be totally fine. So it's just about the extent of the pain. And I think we talked about that a few episodes ago. It's really just about the pain tolerance. And Lauri Markkanen must have really hurt himself last year if he was out for the first 9 weeks. It's all about that pain tolerance and being able to shoot. And he wasn't able to do that. So Gafford's must have been not as bad considering he had a full healthy practice. So that was good to hear. Carter's tailbone contusion sounds like he fell on his ass twice and might have a minor bruise. Seems like he'll be all right from that. I'm more concerned about the ankle and if the ankle's all right completely. So we'll continue to monitor that. Seems like Chandler Hutchison is making some progress too, but still a ways away. So I would bet if he's not going to have any setbacks, probably see him by the start of November, give him probably about another month before he returns. So maybe the Bulls are without him for the first 4 or 5 games. That's not bad. Like, if we're talking 20 games, Chandler Hutchison's missing, then we have a problem. He's missing the first handful of games. If he misses the first handful of games, all right, fine. But no setbacks. Let's hope to get him fully healthy back on the floor. Speaking of injuries, this one comes from this 3-1-2. Let's follow on that one. It's astonishing to see that yet again we have 2 day 1 training camp injuries to Gafford and Carter. I tried to look at other day one training camp injuries around the league to see if perhaps this injury issue isn't only Bulls isolated. A lot of the teams have players who are hurt or not yet 100%, but most of those injuries happened before camp. With that stated, it seems that just our Bulls, at least as of now, have this bad fortune with injuries that seem to happen training camp every single year for the past 5 seasons, without a doubt. And it's weird things that happen. By the way, could we find out how both elbow hyperextensions to Lowry and Gafford occurred? I mean, what players were involved in those scrums? Perhaps someone needs to chill out and stop fucking up their teammates' bows. Really hope Carter's ankle is and insignificant as the Bulls claim. Seems like it is considering he practiced. We know how there's a history of injury diagnoses that have been upgraded to more severe than previously stated in the past. Please just let our core play a healthy season so we can truly see what we have. In the event we are subjected to another injury riddled season, heaven forbid, to our core, it pains me to say that our rebuild ain't jack. I will keep the faith as of now, because if you don't, then why are you even fans? But how I feel, so go Bulls and see red. Thanks for the text. I felt that passion from you there from just reading that. But honestly, chalk it up to just shitty luck. The Bulls have really, really shitty luck because guys come into training camp, and you're right, day one, first week, end up with injuries. You can't do anything about the injuries. You just can't. Most of the injuries that the Bulls have suffered are stupid, and they're freak accidents that happen in practice, and it can happen to any single team. The Bulls just seem to do it a lot more often. What I can't take is the ones that were avoidable or the truth could have been told to us about it a lot sooner. First, the Denzel Valentine thing. I don't know 100% and want to if Denzel would be willing to answer questions about like what happened last year in training camp. And we even said, like, when he had his season ending surgery, there's an article in the Chicago Sun-Times. I think Joe Colley wrote it. Joe Colley wrote it. Kind of said like Valentine had really no idea. They said a couple of weeks, then it got more severe, said the pain still was up, and then had some more tests done a month later into October. We were already through the season, and then it finds out that but he's going to have season-ending surgery because his ankle's not stable. So it seemed like he didn't even really realize, and I think that's why Matt and I got so angry back in November talking about all of these injuries stacking up and like what's going on, who's being held responsible for this. So that's things that could have been avoided if Denzel wasn't trying to play through that and they would have just known that from day one. Things might have been a little bit different. Maybe he doesn't miss the entire season last year. So that's something that can be avoidable. Also, too, the Bobby and Nico fight can be avoided completely. I mean, let's not forget Nico missed, I think, what, 6 or 7 weeks of that season because he got punched in the face. And then we lost Bobby for the first 8 games, too. So those things are like completely unavoidable. We haven't really had a start to opening season where we've been completely fully healthy, which sucks. Like, this is the time you should be completely and fully healthy. And it seems like every single year, and especially in this rebuild, we've had that problem, whether it was avoided injuries or not. But yeah, from the elbow to Rose's face to Lowry's elbow last year, it just seems a lot more that the Bulls just have shitty luck. And there's nothing that can be avoided when things like that happen. As far as the scrums go, I don't think players are going too hard or need to be told to chill out in practice. I think this just happens. Think about that. Got to remind ourselves, these are the top level athletes in basketball going at each other to start a season. They're all fresh, and some of them got to knock the rust off if they haven't played in a while or haven't been in practices fully. Like, these things are just going to happen. It happens in every sport. It's unavoidable when you're performing at the highest level. These guys are the best athletes in the world, so we just got to keep that in mind as well. Good thing, though, is Gafford's elbow hyperextension doesn't seem nearly as severe as it was with Lowry's, considering he was back at training camp. So that's a good thing. I'm keeping the faith as well. I'm knocking on wood, doing every superstition I can to hopefully have a fully healthy season, or at least for the majority of the season, to our core players to be able to finally play together in year 3 of this rebuild. So thanks for the text. 630, pardon my limited knowledge of the remaining free agents, but here's a list. Carmelo Anthony, Vince Carter, Jamal Crawford, Corey Brewer, Luol Deng, TLC, Wayne Selden, and Iman Shumpert. Some of these better than others, but also none of these inspire confidence. What are your thoughts on potential wings we can add to that final training camp spot that would really hopefully make the final roster? First, Vince Carter signed back with Atlanta, so he's out, and he would really be the only one outside of Jamal Crawford. But let me spin it back on you and for anybody listening. All of those guys, are any of those guys, would you rather have any of those guys on your team right now just for a single year over Shaq Harrison? Shaq Harrison is your 15th spot. Well, really, Cristiano Felicio is your 15th spot, but you know what I'm saying. He has a non-guaranteed contract right now. Shaq Harrison has non-guaranteed money still on the table. The Bulls could cut ties and they could save some money if they wanted that roster spot open. But are you enticed by any of those guys to fill that spot? Or would you rather just see what Shaq Harrison can do building off the end of the year that he had last year? And honestly, I think Jim Boylan really likes Shaq Harrison on top of what he really likes to see out of Ryan Arcidiacono. They wouldn't have brought him back if they didn't like them, like either one of those guys. The Bulls don't have a roster spot as of now. They have all 15 completely tied up. So what they would have to do if they wanted to bring one of these wings in, still keep Shaq Harrison, they would have to waive Felicio. That's just what would have to happen. So for me right now, none of those names scream, hey, I want to cut Shaq Harrison, or hey, I want to extend paying Felicio for the next whatever it is, 4 years, instead of just biting the bullet on the money right now and figuring out a buyout in the summer for him next year. At this point, we're already so far in with both of those guys, and realistically, none of those guys that have been mentioned right now, Carmelo, Jamal Crawford, Corey Brewer, Luol Deng, TLC, Wayne Seldon, or Iman Shumpert, are really going to make that big of an impact, right? Unless Chandler Hutchinson ends up missing 2 or 3 months, then we're having a different conversation. Same thing with any of the other injuries to major rotation players. Then we're having a different conversation. But as of right now, I say no thanks on any of those guys and rather just see what we have in Shaq Harrison at a low cost as well. The last thing I wanted to say on that too is I don't see them adding another wing, at least at this point, because otherwise we probably would have heard something, or the front office would have made mention of this, right? They would have said something about, hey, we're going to continuously actively look for other depth that we can find either in free agency or through trade throughout the year. It doesn't seem like they went that way. So either one of two things, they just didn't even consider it right now, have their full roster set, or Chandler Hutchinson's injury is not as bad as we think it is. So, yeah, we would have definitely heard something at media day if they were pursuing that option. So, you tell me, though. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line or tweet at us. You answer that question. Are any of those other guys that I just listed on a one-year minimum deal better than seeing what you have in Shaq Harrison? Do you guys like Shaq Harrison? Do you think he fits on this roster? Are you guys glad that the Bulls brought him back? You guys tell me. 331-979-1369 or on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, or at Locked On Bulls. Let's run through a couple more of these text messages. Don't think I'm going to get to the voicemails today, but later today we will clean that up and we'll do the rest of the voicemails. We'll do those with Matt. This is from the 708. There were some rumblings on Twitter after media day about the Bulls doing a one-on-one tournament in September, one of which was supposedly won by Ryan Arcidiacono. Archie didn't seem to be mentioned at all in the televised press conferences. Where do you guys think he stands in the point guard depth chart slash rotation? And what do you guys think his role will be with this team this season? This is a good question. And again, like I mentioned at the top of the episode, we did our first player preview, and the majority of the discussion between me and Matt was about Shaq Harrison and Ryan Arcidiacono and how those guys fit, what they're going to be, what their roles are going to be in this rotation, and ultimately if it's going to be really those two guys fighting it out with each other, if everybody else is healthy, 4 minutes this upcoming season, and who does Jim Boylan favor more? So definitely go back and listen to that. It was an interesting conversation between Matt and me about him and Shaq Harrison. I think he's going to have an important role, though, if I'm being quick here about this. I think he's going to have a really important role this season, playing a decent chunk of minutes off the bench. Right now, as it stands, you have really 5 point guards, and three of which can play the 2 or 3 as well in a pinch. Thomas Satoransky, Kobe White probably not going to play a 3 unless you're playing a really small ball, weird 3-guard lineup, which I don't think Jim Boylan will run that often. We'll see more smaller bigs and guys that can play off the wing, where Thaddeus Young and Otto Porter are playing together a lot, or Chandler Hutchinson and him playing a lot, or Zach LaVine extended out with Thomas Satoransky and guy like Kobe White or Chris Dunn in the backcourt. So maybe we see something like that, but I think he's going to have an important role. He's going to be Jim Boylan's kind of glue guy. He's going to be that spark of energy you need off the bench. When scoring is rough, it seems like a lot of guys are going ISO one-on-one. He comes in there to be a pass-first option. He can also knock down a 3, too. He did have a stretch during last year's season where he shot terribly from 3. I think it was between like the end of December and the start of February. He was like around 25-30% from 3. He did finish the season just below 40% from 3, so he can knock down a 3-pointer when you need it. Overall, just smart player. Always said this and continue to say this, if Ryan Arcidiacono wants to be a head coach either in college basketball or the NBA one day, or be a part of a coaching staff, he's got a job, no doubt about it. So it was good to hear, too, from Kobe White, if you didn't catch it. He said he did learn a lot and was kind of mentored by Ryan Arcidiacono in the first couple of months as being a part of this Bulls team before even getting to Chicago. So that was good to hear as well. So I think he's going to have a really, really important role on this team, and I hope the defense stays. I hope he's learned a little bit more, and who knows? Who knows? I was pleasantly surprised with what I saw out of him last year. Is he going to have a huge role, though? I'm talking like 10 or 15 minutes a night, probably going to be Ryan Arcidiacono's fit, right? Unless somebody gets hurt, then things change. This from the 309, going to take a few more texts and then get out of here. It says, are you guys at all more comfortable about this Bulls team after this media day on Monday? Are there any more questions for the Bulls that didn't get answered? Also, did you hear all the Bulls players and staff praising Dunn? It just sounds like they're trying to hype up his trade value. I did find it as one of my biggest surprises of media day was the amount that Chris Dunn was talked about. I really did think that there was only going to be short mentions of him and not even questions asked by the players, but it is kind of an important decision for the Bulls to make. Chris Dunn's going into his final year of his rookie deal. The Bulls are going to have to decide whether or not they want to bring him back. I think that's why there's been trade talks. I mean, the Bulls tried to trade him this summer, and there was nothing out there for him. Literally nothing. I find it hard to believe that nobody wants a young point guard that has had some struggles on the floor and inconsistencies about staying healthy and just being able to be consistent. But still, like, 2 years ago wasn't that far away. What he was doing in December through February before he smashed his face in the United Center floor wasn't that far away. I still think Chris Dunn can go back to being that guy. And he improved himself in certain categories. He took a step back in his defense last year. And I think the ability to get his hands in passing lanes and be kind of that bulldog on defense, I don't think we saw that as much last year. He was getting himself into a lot of foul trouble, at times just dribbling the ball away. But he was trying to actively become a better three-point shooter. And I think that's what kind of drove down not only his field goal percentage, but you look at his effective field goal percentage, especially towards the end, his three-point shot started to get a little bit better. So I think he finished the year, I'm not looking at his stats in front of me, but I'm pretty sure he finished somewhere around like 32 or 33% from three. For Chris Dunn, that's pretty good for trying to actively shoot threes and get a little bit better at that. So I did find that as one of my biggest surprises from media day, especially surprised that John Paxson brought him up without even really being prompted. Seems like it could have been one of two things. They're either boosting his confidence to get him to play like he should, or he could genuinely just have a really good camp. And they're not lying when they say he's been one of the best guys out there on the floor. I'm curious to see how that kind of translates over into preseason in this first chunk of games, maybe 15 to 20, and see how Jim Boylan uses him. But if Zach LaVine's praising him, if John Paxson is doing it without being even prompt, him I could believe more so than LaVine about the fact that trying to up his trade value from day one. And same thing with Jim Boylan. But coming from a player, not really their style, and there's no real benefit for them to do that if they're just being two-faced about it. I could see just from a front office's standpoint or from the coach's standpoint, you want that to happen in order to kind of start building up that trade value for him. So we'll see. I'm hoping for a big year from Chris Dunn. I feel like I'm I feel like I'm Tom Hanks in Castaway, literally the only person left on Chris Dunn Island. So if you're hanging out there with me, let me know. We'll find each other. But yeah, it's been lonely place to be over the last year or so. But I'm hoping for big things, and maybe there's a slight chance this Bulls team, this front office, can all mend their rocky relationship over the last 18 months and figure out a way to keep him here long term if he plays well. If not, then we'll say see ya. The last text coming from the 815 says, just looking for an update with Denzel Valentine. Is he practicing at 100%? Feel like I haven't heard much about him, even at media day. Thanks. Yeah, seems like everything is good to go with Denzel Valentine. He did mention to somebody at media day, while he didn't speak like in front of the podium, he did do some side interviews. The only notable thing to take away from him, he did not guarantee a playoff spot this year like he did in years past, but he does mention that he wants to be in the three-point contest this February. So it would be kind of cool to see not only Zach LaVine in the dunk contest, which that was something I didn't ask Matt about, but that was something I found very weird. Like, everybody kept asking him about the dunk contest. It was like 3, 4, 5, 6 questions about dunk contest. It's like, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. If he's healthy, if things are going well, he's going to do it. If he's not healthy, then that would be the only way I see him not doing it. So can we stop asking him, at least for right now? Some more important things for me to get out of Zach LaVine in day one than 3 or 4 follow-up questions about whether or not he's going to be a part of All-Star festivities that are 6 months away. Back to Denzel Valentine, though. I would imagine that the Bulls are going to be super cautious with him leading up to opening night, just to ensure that he gets to opening night fully healthy. But he's still like, he's going to have to play decent chunks of these preseason games because he hasn't played in actual games in almost 2 years, in almost a year and a half. When's the last time Denzel Valentine's been in the game? March of or April of 2018? So yeah, we're talking about like 14, 16 months. He hasn't played in an actual game. So he's going to have to get as many reps as he can. I'm hoping that the confidence is there. I'm hoping that the ankle feels great. The knees are doing good. And he becomes a vital part of this bench. Like if you're a Bulls fan out there right now that doesn't buy high stock into Denzel Valentine but wants the Bulls to make the playoffs, you're going to need Denzel Valentine to shoot 37, 38, 39% off the bench from three. You're going to have him be part of a vital role in this team in order for this team to have success. If he's a bum out there, then there's going to be a problem. The Bulls are already thin in what they have in rotation players off the bench. If Valentine comes up being a dud and it's part of these injuries or he's got to knock the rust off of him, it's going to cause problems for this Bulls team. So it seems like, crossing my fingers, that he comes back and doesn't skip a beat from where he was. The other thing that I noted just from pictures and just seeing some video of him is he looks way thinner than he did the last time we saw him on the floor. Like, way thinner, looks in great shape. So I think this is a good thing. I think Denzel Valentine's come back and he's ready to prove everybody that says, you know what, he's an afterthought. Remind people that he was an AP player of the year in college. He's a four-year guy at Michigan State. Part of the reason why they had so much success while he was there for 4 years. And also tend to remind people that he did shoot, 38.5% from three and was consistent as hell in that first year of the rebuild. So it's been quite some time since we've seen him in an actual game. So I'm confident in Denzel Valentine, and I'm also hoping that he has a really good year too. So That's the check-in on Denzel Valentine. Appreciate all of you guys texting in. For everybody who dropped us a voicemail this week, we will get to those on today's episode later today. Matt and I will run through all of those. Got some exciting things to talk about as well, but a double episode here on Friday. It is kind of weird. I've been playing this weird game of I don't know what time it is, because for a lot of you who live in the Chicago area or just have been listening to the podcast, I've started working at 670 The Score in May of this year and been working mostly overnight, so things have been weird. My schedule has been really, really weird. So that's why you're getting a podcast, and I'm sitting here recording at 6:30 in the morning. So that's why you're getting a podcast right now, and it's why Matt and I's schedules have been completely off, both of us being on weird different time schedules and me having no idea what time it is and having no sense of time or anything like that over the last few months. But we're getting things back on track here as the season begins. And again, August and September, we gave you guys a bunch of content, but nothing really going on in those months as well. But we're ramping up, just a few weeks away. First preseason games on Monday, so very excited about that. So thanks for all of you guys for hanging out with us all summer long and making this the best Bulls podcast available. But that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. You can hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop us a text or a voicemail. Save that number in your phone if you're a new listener, 331-979-1369, the place to do that. We're on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. We're on Instagram as well. Haven't posted there in a really long time, but now as the season starts to ramp back up, we're going to start posting there more and more often. So we'll give you guys teases from episodes that we've done, video clips, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So go give us a follow on Instagram at Locked On Bulls as well. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back later today for a second episode. So if you're going to catch that, you'll have two things to listen to today. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that mailbag. Hopefully I ran through a bunch of your questions, feel a little bit more knowledgeable about the Bulls. And most importantly, thanks for hanging out with me today. For Jordan Malley, I'm saying goodbye. See you guys later. You guys have a wonderful weekend. And Bulls fans, I am out of here. Deuces.
I thought it was a real positive.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com